Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Profit Cleaners Podcast, the only place where you can learn from the top 1% of cleaning business owners from around the world to take it to the next level and win. And guys, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate the opportunity. You're joined by Brandon Condry and Brandon Shane here in the house. So how's it going, Brandon Condry?
Things are good.
Awesome, man. We just got off of some really awesome coaching calls and we've been doing some other fun strategy calls with you guys. So the podcast is going to be a really fun interview. Let's tell people a little bit about Krista Brandon, where she's from, her company.
Yeah, so Krista owns Hope Cleaning Co. and you can find that at hopecleaning.co. And she is on the east side of Mobile Bay in Mobile, Alabama. But the areas they service are Fairhope, Daphne, and Spanish Fort. And so, you know, this is like a longer one than we normally do, but it was a really good conversation. You know, Krista has some background in HR. And so we talked a little bit about that and talked about how she found her way to running a cleaning business. And I think you guys get some value over it and see what's possible if you just kind of follow the system, do the work. It's good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. So this is a really inspiring story. Again, from Krista, you probably already have heard some of the backstory if you heard her other podcast, but go listen to it. I owe you a beer or eight. Ultimately, that's what we're doing here, guys, is we're sharing knowledge. We're sharing our experience and everything that we can give to you guys to help you as you're growing your cleaning businesses. And again, just some of the highlights I thought with the cleaning business. And yeah, we just had some really impactful insights along the way. Krista started this cleaning business about 3 years ago. You know, in 2024, she is going to break through seven figures. So I think that's an amazing, amazing testament to, you know, if you just keep sticking through it, you keep taking action, you don't give up, you know, you can do that as well. And the sky is the starting point. And you guys can absolutely take this knowledge that we're sharing with you. Krista, you know, definitely listen to our podcast. A lot of you guys listen to the podcast and start cleaning businesses just from listening to the podcast. But Krista actually worked with us in our coaching and in our program. And I think she said she probably still could have done it on her own, but it gave her so much confidence and so much more knowledge to take more action. And so again, guys, if you are starting your cleaning business, if you're just getting going, wherever you're at in the journey, take some inspiration from Krista here and see what's possible. And again, a rising tide raises all ships. We're all here to learn and get better together. So I think that's pretty much it. Let's jump into it, Brandon. And it should be a fun conversation with Krista. All righty.
Grow your cleaning business. Make more money. Have more time. This is the Profit Cleaners Podcast with your hosts, Brandon Condry and Brandon Shane.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to this interview today. We are joined by Krista Myrick. And thank you so much for being here, Krista. This is an amazing opportunity to just hear your story and share with the Profit Cleaners where you've kind of all the progress you've made over the last few years. And we did share on an earlier episode, just like you reached out recently and sent us an email about the growth you've had over the last few years and just where you've come. And so I just can't wait to hear your story today and just hear like more of the progress you've made. And like, again, the whole point of this is to inspire people, to show people what's possible. So, you know, Brandon and I obviously have been in the cleaning business for a while, but the more and more we hear you guys' stories, the more it encourages us to keep going. Because at one point, Brandon and I were like, is anybody out there listening to this? Does anybody care? But the more we hear your stories, the more it's like really compelling for us to just be like, and this is amazing. This is the most rewarding experience ever to hear your stories. So Krista, welcome today. Krista's from Alabama. Tell us about your cleaning business. Let's jump into it, Krista.
Yeah, thank y'all so much. This is so fun. You had told me 3 years ago when I'm like walking around my neighborhood listening to you guys that I'd be on the podcast. I'm not sure how I would have felt about that. But yeah, and I'm so glad I reached out, you know, just kind of been quietly listening. And I'm more of a content consumer than what I've put out there or have been. But I thought, you know, if it were me, like I would definitely want to know the impact that I'm having on people's lives. So thank y'all so much for what you're doing. And I'm so glad you did not quit. But yeah, so gosh, where to start? I must have been feeling really good and really confident that day that I sent that because I listened to the podcast and that was awesome. But then, you know, the life of a business owner, you like start the year off. And I remember like January 1, I'm like, man, this is my year, like 2024, you know? And then I think this might be, if we make it through tomorrow, the first week, like full week we've had of school. There were like, kids got sick, I got sick, like the weather dipped below 40 and the schools closed. And then they were out a week for Mardi Gras break and all these things. And I'm just like, man, ooh, I am. Now it's March. But I'm very blessed that have created some flexibility with this business. So that doesn't mean that it's easy or that there's not anything that needs to be done. So the business will be through on April 1st of this year. And so launched kind of coming out of the height of the pandemic. But that was really such a crazy time for everybody with, I think, so many businesses were born in that time when people had just, little room to breathe and be creative and think, a lot of thinking probably during that time for everybody. And I was working for another company. My career history, my education is in human resource management. And so I was helping another business at the time navigate all these challenges in terms of, the biggest challenge was staffing, which I know that y'all dealt with as well for an essential business, but then all of the cleaning and the time off requirements and paying for the time off requirements and all of that stuff. But I was no stranger to helping small. I worked with a couple of different size organizations and throughout my career, but really those small business owners who were growing their businesses was where I spent the bulk of the time, and knew at some point, like, I could do this, felt like I was called to do this, and then felt the need in our community for the cleaning business because I was my own target customer, and I couldn't find the help that I really needed. And it's always been kind of my love language anyways. When somebody's going through something, I would want to help. That's how I felt like I could provide some value. But it's weird if you don't have a cleaning business to go to somebody's house that's on bed rest and their laundry's piling up and be like, just let me help you. Nobody wants to let a friend help them. So it's easier with the business. It's almost like I'm going to have this platform to then be able to provide that value to people. And so really the idea started as a nonprofit. And you learn, if you've ever looked into nonprofits, that that's actually a lot more work. In terms of the paperwork and the board of directors and all of the requirements for actually.
Why did you want to run it as a nonprofit to begin with? I'm really curious.
Well, because the answer I was thinking of is a very good one. Because it really did start that way. Actually, a pastor in my church would say, you have different gifts and maybe at one point in your life you're in your working years and stuff and you don't have time, but you have money to tithe. And then maybe at another point in your life, or if you don't work or if you're older or whatever, then maybe you don't have a lot of extra money, but you could go clean people's houses. And he used that example and it stuck with me. And that was probably 10 years ago that I heard this sermon. But I know, and I have always been a very big believer in just kind of the power and the connection of a clean environment and mental health. Like I said, that's, when I was going, whenever I was having babies or whatever, that was my biggest thing is no, I need to schedule a C-section so I can know the house is going to be clean when I come home. And that's super crazy to say out loud. And this is not the direction I thought this conversation would go. But like I said, I wanted in the beginning it to be a way that I could give back to the community. And I'm very blessed that I've not ever had to be super motivated by money. And so, that's
a lovely reason why.
Obviously now, you're running a business and you're like, I work hard, I need to make money.
I mean, we've talked about it in the past, but you have a really good reason why you wanted to start it. And if you just follow that like you have, then the money typically follows as long as you run a good organization. And I think you found that. We've never toyed with the nonprofit side. We did with the cancer cleans. The hospital did tell us one time that if we formed a nonprofit, that there were grants they could get us to perform the cleaning for cancer patients. We never went down that road because of the same issue that you had, which is there's a lot of paperwork involved and nonprofits are hardcore because it's one of the ways that people kind of launder money. There's a lot of shady nonprofits out there. And so that's why the regulation on it is so high.
Yeah.
I have another question though.
And I think I like the idea of in the beginning, being able to fund these free cleans instead of just as a business, it just being out of your pocket. But then also that more of that community, I felt like would be less lonely almost. Do you know what I mean? To have the board and to be able to put yourself out there in that way.
In your previous life, your HR manager life, you dealt with a lot of small businesses that needed your help. What did you take away from those meetings with those businesses that made you say, I want to do this? Because oftentimes businesses seeking out HR help are maybe not in the most comfortable spot because some of them are growing, so they need help, which is great. The couple times we've set out an HR person is someone, said they were going to call a lawyer when we fired them for whatever reason. And we needed to have our policies reviewed to make sure that we were doing things the correct way. So what were those experiences like, and how did you come away from that being, I'm definitely starting a business as a result of this?
So first of all, HR has a really bad reputation, and there's a reason why, and I hate that. I've never been that kind of HR person. Like, yes, there are things you have to have in place to protect the business in this climate, but I kind of fell into HR. I didn't go to school for that. I was a psychology major. I don't know what, I'm not going to let my kids be a psychology
major. My brother was a psych major. He works at a construction company now.
Yeah, like, what are you going to... Yeah. But I kind of fell into it because I was kind of pursuing my next step in life. I knew I wanted to pursue more education, so I wasn't sure I would. And I started to go on kind of a temporary position, or I thought it was going to be temporary, with a growing company as like an executive assistant to who was the COO at the time. And he passed all the stuff off that he didn't want to do, which was kind of that transactional HR stuff, right? You know, like setting up, you know, getting the handbook, working with the attorney to write the handbook, setting up payroll, you know, kind of getting benefits is the, but also the business. I was doing everything that from scouting locations, because when I worked there, the first 18 months I worked there, the business grew from like 3 to 7 locations. And so I just kind of fell into that on accident and had the opportunity to then pursue a master's degree while I was working in this position, which was amazing. And I would recommend that to anybody if you have the opportunity, because I was able to, you know, apply what I was learning in that program every day. So that was huge. And then eventually, yeah, I just kind of outgrew that and took a much smaller position with a really large company and was able to grow with them. And they just had an amazing leadership team that, you know, I've just been very lucky to have just amazing mentors my whole career. But that got to be that, you know, like I traveled, my husband traveled. I loved that job. But if I had stayed there, like I never would have seen a baseball game. You know, it was just really tough. And we kind of had to make some decisions. And so then I tried to be a stay-at-home mom and was really bad at that, because I'm just not, I'm not wired that way. And I have the biggest respect. I think that's the hardest job in the whole world. But went back into the small business, and that was more of the same, growing chains of quick serve franchise restaurants for a local business owner. And he was amazing. And when I decided, you know, there are a couple of steps there. So I kind of had thought through different things, but he was a role model as well. And so supportive. I continued to work for him as I was launching the cleaning business. Just so supportive. But I had seen, you know, I'd seen all these behind the scenes, and I had played a part in this growth. You know, I would go and hire and train for a new location and kind of help them through the onboarding processes. I had done that so many times with other businesses. And then again, just personally felt the need of this business. So it kind of all came together. And in that time, when I knew the direction I wanted to take, but you know, like when you have in your head, like, I'm going to start a cleaning business, but like, that's not sexy. And like, I don't know how to tell people that. And I don't really actually know how to execute. And that's when I started, you know, really pursuing kind of getting information from others. And I found you guys. That's what I said before. Like, that confidence piece is huge. Like,
yeah, you just don't want to be like the only person doing the thing, especially when you consider it unsexy. And so do a lot of other people. I remember when I quit my six-figure sales job in science, which I majored in genetics, which was my passion. And when they asked me why I was quitting, I'm going to start a cleaning company. They're like, why? Like, what is it about? Is it like a special cleaning company? I'm like, nope, just houses, man. That's it. And they looked at me like I was crazy, but I was miserable at that job. I traveled all the time. Traveling was super fun when I didn't have kids and it was just me and my wife. And then as soon as my daughter was able to talk and get really upset when I had to leave to go to the airport, I was like, I can't keep doing this anymore. It'd been like a decade of flying around to do that. So yeah, we have a very similar path. So I find it interesting. And that was one of the things that Brandon and I said when we started, is we want to bring, you know, like some Silicon Valley type practices and things like that to an unsexy business model, which is the mom and pop cleaning company. And most of them have been around for a really long time. Like in the case of those franchises, those guys got up and running in like the early 70s and then didn't change anything. They still run stuff on carbon copy paper and they don't have a computer system. And when we realized that that's what we were up against, I'm like, I mean, this, I feel like this is going to be easy. Obviously, it was not easy. Running a business is very, very difficult. But the overall model, I think, stood the test of time. And we started going up against mom and pops that just weren't, you know, like millennials aged out to the point where they're making money and they want to spend time with their families. Like that's a big difference between like, you know, the baby boomers and millennials is that they're spending a lot more time with their kids or spending time at experiences, which means they don't want to clean their house. There is no stay-at-home mom in millennial families usually. So yeah, that was huge for us when we realized that. And, you know, like just the fact that we were willing to text people and other ones you had to call and they wouldn't answer. I feel like just that alone was like, whoa, you guys are amazing. I'm like, we haven't even done anything. This is not that hard.
Sometimes it feels like the bar is not quite high enough. You know, like we, our second year in business in 2022, we also partnered with Cleaning for a Reason, and we were awarded like their top 100 cleaning partners list for that year. But we didn't even do that much because we do stuff outside of Cleaning for a Reason as well. But I think I'm not even going to say the number, but, and we were the only one on the list that made it in the whole state of Alabama. Which I was like, I don't know whether to be proud or sad about this. But then it's also like, okay, all these other companies are saying that they partner with this organization and they didn't make the list. And I'm like, kind of local. And I'm like, I know what I did.
Yeah. Yeah. People run things a different way, especially if they're stuck in their ways and they're not going to change. Shane, you got any thoughts there? You're very quiet over there.
This is just, I'm just enthralled with this conversation. It's amazing. But I really, what I love most about what you've said so far, Krista, is just your servant heart. You know, you want to serving the community, all the things you did leading up to this point kind of prepared you for this and the HR and like seeing what you didn't like about that. And I'm sure it's helped you with just being more comfortable hiring and dealing with people, managing people and understanding that. But I just love what you said about, you know, you wanted to help your community. And, you know, from, you know, after talking to your pastor and getting the light bulb went off and you're like, now we can actually serve people in these other ways. And that's what it really feels like. I can remember many, many times, especially with the cancer cleans, people just like inviting us into their home, having coffee with their family. They couldn't believe we were cleaning their house. Like there's just so much impact that you make helping anybody in the community, but just in general with this service, you really are impacting people's lives, not just your life and your team's life. It's like incredible to realize you're delivering happiness. You're delivering their time back so they can do more of what they love. And I just think hearing what you said, you know, like having that initial intention, which was to go serve and help people and do it maybe in a professional way, because it, like you said, it felt weird doing it as a friend, but people will definitely have a company come do that. And then on top of that, you know, you continue to do that with Cleaning for a Reason and just reaching out. And we're trying to find more ways to do that as well. But it's just like when you help people in a genuine way and when you're solving a real problem, that is an example of really like one of the best businesses in the reciprocity and kind of the karma that comes back from that, I think, from serving people and helping people in all these ways. It, you know, you're living proof of it. I think we are too. Just, you know, that business will come back to you. People will want to share that and work with you. And if you're doing good things and helping people, like you're going to grow and you're going to continue to excel and make progress. And so that's what I hear from what you've been doing. It's just really incredible to hear that story so far and where you've come from and everything you've learned up to this point on the journey. So do you feel like the HR and everything you've done up to this point has prepared you kind of for this business or helped you in additional ways other than the mentors and everybody you had? Do you feel like that's been helpful?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. And just two things real quick about that I wasn't really expecting about the pro bono gleans are like, I don't get to really personally benefit from that so much anymore because I'm not the one out there doing it, but the team members love it. And you know, that's part of what I look for when I'm hiring as well, but they just love it. You know, everybody wants to feel like they're doing more than just like cleaning houses, right? So I think it really helps with reducing our turnover and stuff like that as well, making them proud to be part of the business and proud of where they work. And they really look forward to those. And that obviously benefits the business. And then we've had so many that then they get through the treatment, they sign on as regular paying customers, or, you know, they just rave about us. So it's interesting that it's actually good for the financial health of the business as well and the culture and all that, of course. But yes, I mean, yes and no to the HR question. Yes, in the sense that going in, like so many people are afraid of starting a business or just hiring help if they are the business because they're terrified of that part, right? And that's like the one part I wasn't terrified of. But, you know, because I didn't have, like I, you know, sales, marketing, what, you kind of have to just figure all that out until you don't have to do everything anymore. But then also I got to experience kind of the flip side, whereas as an HR business partner, like you're a coach, you're basically like an inside coach to this organization. And like, I never as an HR person, like fired anybody or hired anybody, anything like that, because I wanted the manager to own that. And so, you know, we'd kind of consult internally, but I wasn't having to actually do some of these things. Like they weren't my employees. And so now it's just crazy because it's so much harder. And so many times, like I know what I need to do, but I have to really like stay on myself to actually hold people and myself accountable in some areas, because it is so much harder when like it's just you. Like there's no, you know, there's no like blaming a policy because it's your policy, right? So that's been tough, and I've had to, but I definitely feel like I've gotten better at that. And, you know, because people, I think people know, like, if you care, like you care about them, but then sometimes it's just business. And it's like, hey, I realize XYZ has happened. I know you're going through some stuff, but at the same time, like, I've got a business to run. So, you know, there's some tough conversations, but I think that ultimately the team respects that. And if they don't, it's not a good fit, but yeah.
Yeah, you can't take those small, hard conversations personally. I remember being very upset the first couple times we terminated someone. And we terminated one person right away, and then we had a really long stretch where we didn't have to do it again. And then we went through a spat of it, because you just get to a size where, I mean, look, man, this is going to happen pretty constantly. And so we're, you know, we've got 60 plus employees now, and I think we are doing interviews every week. And someone is leaving or being terminated every week. Unfortunately, that's just like the nature of the gig. Either they find what we're doing too difficult, too fast, they don't want to work like that, or worse, they do something that is, you know, a terminable offense and we have to cut them loose. And so I don't see that part going away. But one of my favorite parts about business, about being an entrepreneur, is that it is on you. And then that is the scary slash fun part. So yep, it's your policy, you screwed up, but don't worry, I also get to fix it. And I get to figure out how we went wrong along the way. And then, you know, there's just like, we have the person, Raina, who's doing our hiring and firing and things like that. She was our trainer for a long time. And then the hiring, interviewing, following up, like it's just so hard to get people to show up for the interviews. A lot of them are, you know, applying online so they can keep collecting their state benefits and show the unemployment office that, yes, I did apply for a job. But, you know, like they don't actually respond to, come on in, we'll talk to you right now. Like we'll take an interview right now. So she moved from training to more of this HR sort of position. And then we had to get a trainer in there to support her. And now she's missing meetings because of all these interviews. And so this is a constant moving, growing puzzle. Like you're adding more and more pieces to a jigsaw puzzle. Like you started out at 100 pieces and now you're up to like 10,000, and you just are constantly juggling all these things. And people find that terrifying. I find it kind of fun. Like, I think this is a creative endeavor. I think running a business is a creative endeavor. You made something from scratch. You went out and found us on a Google search. And so that just means that you were trying to fit the pieces of the puzzle together. And that's part of the fun.
So yeah. Yeah. It's, I guess it depends on what kind of mood you're in as to whether it's fun or not. Sometimes it's fun. But so Raina, so then, and that's a lot. 60 is a lot. I can't. So if she started, she went from a cleaner to a trainer, I guess, and then trainer to some of this HR support. So, and this is where my like nerdy HR question comes in, but she received training on like what you should or shouldn't like talk about in interviews, or like how, what did she have to do to prepare herself for that?
Want to know why most cleaning business owners fail or get stuck? Systems.
When you don't have the right systems in place for hiring, training, marketing, all of the day-to-day essentials, then your business gets jammed. And without the right systems, it's impossible to keep moving forward.
If you're ready to add smart, proven systems to your cleaning business so that you can join the top 1% of cleaning business owners, head over to our free Facebook group now and watch the masterclass pinned to the top of the group.
Just search Top 1% Cleaning Business Owner Club. Find our faces and watch the free class to learn exactly how we took our business from zero to seven figures in just 3 years.
Yeah, so we brought in an outside HR consultant to go over everything. We reviewed our policies with them. We reviewed our interview process with them. They made some changes. And then since then, you know, I belong to this, it's like a CEO peer group, but it's called Firecracker Leadership. And they launched a management training academy type thing. And so both Claudia and Reyna go to those, you know, once a month, and they bring in a guest speaker and they cover stuff. So yeah, we did give her some training. We didn't just throw her to the wolves. And, you know, the HR person did point out several flaws in our system that I thought were pretty innocuous. Like we were rating answers to interview questions on a scale of 1 to 10, like each person at the table rating on a scale of 1 to 10. And then we would kind of combine numbers at the end to come up with this average. I was just trying to be coldly logical about it. Like, let's just come up with a number. Like, you can score 10 and they rated 7. So like, that's good, right? And then she told us not to do that, that this could open us up to some weird discrimination stuff. And all this is like an outside edge case that someone's going to sue you because you rated them a 5 or something. So we changed that practice and have made it much less coldly logical, I suppose. But I'm not in on the interviews anymore. So yeah, we've definitely adjusted the whole time. And that's part about being a business owner is you're never done. That might be something that turns people off. Like, you don't get to a point where you're like, cool, I can sit back and relax. Like, not really. Like, laws change. Like, over the course of our running our business, we had paid sick time state law come in. They're working on expanding that paid sick time law. And so we have to adjust to those things as they come along. And so it's never done. Like, it just keeps becoming its own thing. And this is why I think cleaning, you know, running these companies of a certain age, when you're coming into it with a certain mindset about what you expect as a customer of lots of other really good, you know, customer experience companies, like, this is how we're going to do it. That to me is part of the reason that the older cleaning companies are having trouble keeping up, because they didn't change. We saw one that was running their computer system on like the green type DOS monitors that they, like a CRT cube monitor in their office that they had had since the 70s. Like, they were running the oldest possible computing hardware. And to me, that just screams like, I ticked a box, I got a computer, I'm all done. Yay. But if you don't stay on top of it, it becomes archaic. And that's what I think is happening right now. Yeah. So this is kind of it's a good time to be disrupting the service
business.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, I had Service Fusion before I had any customers. Like, if I had not, like, which I don't even know how people stay organized without a software like that. But yeah, no, I think that's amazing that y'all are providing those kind of management development opportunities for the person that's in the office. She also started as a cleaner team lead. Now she's full-time there doing kind of scheduling, answering the phones, customers, her titles currently like operations coordinator. And I've been talking about ways to develop her, begin to like, where do you want to go? Like, whether, you know, I want to provide whatever this is, like, hopefully you stay with us a long time. But if you don't, then you're going to be better for your next opportunity. You're going to have more opportunity. You're going to have better, you know, these skills. And it's, you know what? It's funny because when I was still with the last company I was with, I told them my plans. I was kind of offboarding myself, replacing myself there. And one of the restaurant managers, I told her, I was like, you know, it's not sexy like we talked about. And she was like, you know what is sexy? She was like, providing like jobs, making jobs, providing a healthy, happy work environment, like providing a service to your community. So just to circle around, background of that, like, and that's pretty, it is.
Yeah, they're all connected, you know, like we wanted to run a business a certain way. I did not want to be the angry micromanager leader, like looking over your shoulder. I wanted to be exactly the opposite. I want to hand you a process and let you run with it. And I'll be here if you have any questions. And I want to let you make your own mistakes, even if I see them coming, because that's how you learn. And I think a lot of businesses struggle with this internal development of people. I think that they feel like, why should I train them for whatever they're going to like? I'm just going to train them up and they're going to leave. And like, yeah, that's a risk that you take, but I'm trying to approach it from a more positive side and say that if I, you know, put some investment into this employee, that it will be better for our business. And hopefully they'll have some loyalty to us as well going forward. So that like, if we fall on some hard times or things aren't going super smooth, like 1 week, they're not just going to up and leave for the next highest paying job because we did put some effort into that person. And so that's what I think is something that it's a long game. It's going to pay dividends over time, but it's something that you have to do if you want to do, you know, like responsible capitalism. Like, you can try and squeeze every dime out of something and everyone's miserable, or you can try and reinvest some of those proceeds back into your people, your business, and it just makes the whole organization much stronger.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, the people aspect of running any business is really challenging, but especially us here talking and anyone listening, like, that's one of the biggest things people have an issue with is, you know, it's scary to hire people, but it's also scary to, like we've been talking about, so like, to maintain that loyalty. And so in order to do that,
like you said earlier on, Krista, is like even them being part of something great, like the cancer cleans or whatever else you're doing. That's why those things are so important, is because employees, people in general, want to be part of something historic, something great, something that's above and beyond, right? And so the more that you can build that into your culture, the more you can make people feel like they're part of something great. And then even more importantly, seeing their vision, like your vision is, as the leader, you're casting that to your team, but they have to be able to see their dream fitting inside your vision. So they see a path forward. And just like we did with Raina, like some of the best people we have in our teams, they started as cleaners and then they worked up. And we happened to have Claudia in the beginning too, but she worked her way up to many more things and that she was responsible for. And so, you know, hiring from within, inspiring your teams, like making them part of what you're doing and showing them there's a path forward for growth. And even like, yeah, if you can do things like having them being part of serving the client, but on a deeper level, like let them know, yeah, we're just cleaning this house for free because we're helping these people out. Or like anytime we have the teams like write down the handwritten notes, like it just makes them part of that experience. Like they're giving these people, they're thanking people, they're signing their name on it, you know? And so the more you can get your teams involved, I think the better. And it creates loyalty, that creates, you know, your long-term mission and something that people want to be part of. But also, like you guys are saying too, like business is probably the hardest thing any of us will ever do. I mean, parenting is super hard and other things too, but I'm just saying what I always remember when things get hard is I tell myself, I'm built for this. This is what I chose to do. I'm an entrepreneur. Very few people in the world are actually true entrepreneurs. And you get paid to deal with the hard stuff, you know? So at some point there's delayed gratification, right? But at some point you are going to be in a position where you can't pay yourself more and you can actually have more of that time back. And Chris, that's one of the things I loved probably most that you shared in that email you wrote us a few weeks back, was not only are you hitting healthy margins with your business, you're serving your community, but you're getting your time back. You're spending time with your kids. You're getting to pick them up from school. You're going on a vacation this summer. Ultimately, that's like my reason why is I want to build a great business so I can spend more time with my family and make those memories and get that time back, you know? So maybe tell us a little bit more about like how that's been as far as like that transition from like doing everything in your business, maybe the first year or two, to maybe like getting a little more time back. Does that feel like that's happening a little bit more?
Yeah, I think like with, you know, you go through stages in life, like you somehow just get through them and you look back and you're like, I don't know how I did that, but you know, like I think about like when the babies were little and I worked during the day and I was doing online schooling at night and like, you know, you're like, I'm like, I wouldn't do that again. But ultimately everything gets you here. And you know, in the beginning it is, you know, you're a person on the cleaning team. You're like fielding calls from other houses, running outside to do a Zoom estimate, getting home and doing the bookkeeping and, you know, returning messages. And then maybe see your family for a minute and then when kids go to bed, then you're working on your business at that point, trying to make it so that it's not always going to be that, you know, tweaking the website, creating a Facebook ad, whatever it is, you know. And so it was a little crazy for a while, but yes. And now, you know, like I missed that breezy blue call yesterday because it was my week for corporal, or it is my week for corporal. And that's something that I have that commitment. Like I'm going to be there picking up those kids. And so, you know, I'm going to watch a replay at my convenience. Like that's the great thing about technology these days. But then you also have to remind yourself, just because I do have flexibility and I can technically do all these things, like you don't have to do all these things, you know, like I'm coming off of, the kids are out a whole week for Mardi Gras break. For those of you who know what Mardi Gras is, they got a whole week off of school for that. And I'm like, it's fine. Like I can work from home or whatever, but it's really hard to work from home when you've got like a 5-year-old, right? Yeah. And a dog and a cat and tweens that are like asking you to drive them everywhere. And it felt like I was back at that, like work all day and then have a couple hours to do running around and dinner and then work at night to try to catch up from. I still have to like try to give myself grace and remind myself that like it's okay to ask for help too. You know, like I can, maybe we'll look at Mardi Gras or spring break day camps, like maybe. So it's beautiful that there is the freedom, but yeah, and it's also still the life of a business owner. So I do better when I have planned, like if I'm going to plan to take this time off or go on this vacation and know that everything's going to be okay. But when you're like, I mean, there are plenty of people that run businesses and I see them on Facebook and different things all the time where they are like full-time stay at home. Maybe they even homeschool and they run this business. And I would like to talk to one of those people because I don't know how they stay sane. But at the end of the day too, what's great about this business is we're cleaning houses, right? Like, so we're not doing brain surgery and it is a multiple luxury service. And so I've also gotten much better about, you know, setting those boundaries, because like, let's say, you know, I was so proud of myself a couple months ago because I saw an email pop up, you know, I read the first sentence and I knew it was going to be a complaint from a customer. And it was like between 6 and 7 at night. And in the beginning of the business, I would have read that. I would have let it ruin my night. I would have been in my head and absent from my kids. And you know what I mean? And I read one sentence and I was like, that can wait till tomorrow morning, you know?
Yep.
Same thing with weekends and stuff. Like, and that's the great thing about residential cleaning. But I have adopted that, you know, like we're cleaning houses and it's a very valuable service. But at the end of the day, it's all okay. And I try to pass that on to the team as well. Like there's no reason for this job to be stressful, you know, like as long as the intentions are good, like if you break something or if you miss something or, you know, like it's going to be okay. It's fine.
Yeah. Krista, you've had really good success so far. What's on the horizon? Like, do you have a goal in mind? I want to be this big, this much revenue, and then I'll do this. Like, where do you see the journey going from here?
Oh, gosh. I thought I wanted to be big. And then I heard you say 60 employees. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know. But...
So I mean, 5, 6 of those employees are not cleaners. And so we do have office staff helping out with all kinds of stuff. So don't picture it as 60 cleaners all barking in your ear for help. Like there's 3.5 customer service reps, an operations director, a trainer, yeah. This or that. Yeah. But I'm curious, how do you see it going?
So definitely, I think we're kind of wired the same way, you know, when things get too easy or too comfortable, what's the next thing, right? So I have definitely always had big goals. In the beginning, it was, you know, we do our teams by letter. So letter of the alphabet. And each letter is named after a local street sign. So we've got Apricot, Bayview, Cedar, De La Mar, Echo. And I wanted a team for every letter of the alphabet. Like that was my goal. That's a lot. But right now, I think it's just to continue to take market share. We are blessed to be a very fast growing community. So as much as it's tempting to like try to do what you guys have done and go outside of this market, because like we have a bunch of family in other places in the state and, you know, in other great communities. And I'm like, ooh, as a business owner, I could take advantage and, you know, be able to be in this area more or whatnot. But I think right now I really just need to focus on market share in our current community. And as well as I want to get more involved in kind of community groups with other business owners and entrepreneurs. I really love the business community. And as a business owner, it can be lonely, you know? So I've been trying to get more involved doing stuff like this and getting out there more just to be part of a larger community. So those are kind of my goals for this year.
Nice. I like it. Well, we're pushing 45 minutes. That's a pretty long podcast episode for us, usually speaking. But Shane, you have any closing thoughts there?
I just want to say, Krista, that we homeschool our kids and we run the business remote now. And my wife helps me a lot with profit. So if you ever want to talk more about that, I'll tell you more about it. But it is totally possible. But I would say in the beginning, you know, I still had a lot of support from my wife, but Brandon and I were a lot more boots on the ground. And I think that's a great way to start and continue, obviously, depending on what kind of business owner and where you want to be with the business. But I love what you said about and Brandon and I had these same conversations in the beginning where I was like, we're not on the operating table. This isn't like life or death, you know, so we should have more fun. And so we decided to have more fun and we've grown a lot, both of us in different ways along the way. But I think you got to find out what works for you and set up, you know, ultimately delegating the things you don't like doing and building your team around you is super important so that you can focus on your strengths and focus on, you know, being a better mom, being a better wife, be a better leader in your family, all the other things that you do in your community as well. It's going to help you be better at those things. But I think, it's kind of funny because like starting a business, you think you're going to do all these things and ultimately you learn so much more in doing it and you get, you know, sharpened by being out there as an entrepreneur. And it's a crazy journey. Sometimes I wonder if I would ever do it again because it is a lot of hard work and stuff, but I do think it is worth it. I do think it's for us, if anyone is listening, like it is possible to do that. But I think start where you're at. A lot of people ask us if you can run the business remote and stuff like that. Start doing it like Krista did it. You got to do everything in the business, you know, be in the business to start. But eventually you can work your way out and that is the reward in the goal in the future is free up your time and build your team and build the systems and the structure so you can have more fun with your life and do, you know, whatever your reason why is. But yeah, I just wanted to say thank you so much, Krista, for sharing your story. And it's just so amazing to hear your progress because it was, I think you said in your emails, like 3 years ago, which is literally like 1,000 days, right? 3 years ago, you were in your hotel room, like going through this course, like, and then you just got inspired and I think what's really important, what you did was you took massive action and you sought out knowledge, which comes from experience. You sought out, you know, different ways to grow. You had mentors along the way, of course, but you didn't give up. And I think that's just a testament to anyone out there doing this. This business is not life or death. It's not rocket science. It's not surgery. But if you just keep showing up and you keep doing the hard work, like, the results will show. And Krista, you're a prime example of that. And so just thank you so much for, yeah, being part of that and sharing your story and inspiring other people to show them what's possible. I think it's amazing. So
thank you all so much. I remember that now that you say that. I remember listening to that podcast when you announced that you were like taking off and RVing, and I was like, man, and I'm still earlier, you know, in my journey. That's for sure goals. And I'm testing it out this summer. I'm going on two week long trips. And so
awesome.
Hopefully one day.
It'll work out. Like, those big vacations are fun, because then you get to see what happened when you got back. Like, ideally, you're able to completely unplug. I'm going to let you do this. Here's how you handle these cases. Call me if anything comes up. But the fun part is, I remember talking to this guy. He came to talk to our Firecracker group a couple times, but he used to own a big landscaping company. He told us when he started, he would take a month long to go to Greece every summer, because that's where his family is. And, you know, the first month that he left, he came back and things had shrunk and people were mad and they'd lost a couple clients. And so he worked on it. And then the next year, it kind of stayed flat. And then the year after that, it grew while he was gone. And then he started extending the time. And before he sold the company, he was spending all summer in Greece. And the people that he put in charge, when he came back, sales were made, supplies were ordered, people were hired and fired, and everything worked out great. And you don't have to be that hands-on forever. So I do agree with, you know, what Brandon said, that you, when you first start, you should know how to do everything. You should have your hands in every little piece, because A, you're the only person, and B, like, you got to know those things to be able to train someone else. And then over time, you just kind of delegate yourself out, if that's the goal. Like, a lot of people really like staying in there and having their fingers on it, which is great. Like, if that's your goal, then engineer the role that you want to have in the business. But that's not Brandon and I's goal. Brandon and I's goal is to, you know, ski and RV all summer or whatever. Like, that's the idea. So, you know, as we get further along this process, like, you're able to work less if you want to, or work on different things if you want to. Like, you know, Profit Cleaners was a wacky project, a side gig, a podcast, and it's grown into something different that takes more time now. And Brandon and I are in a really good spot where we can take time away from the business that, you know, pays us to work on this business that is growing. And so it's fun. You can kind of, it's like a create your own adventure book. However you want to work it, pick the page that you want to turn to and see what happens.
And I am so thankful for y'all. And I really wanted to come out there, and the timing doesn't work for me, but I'll keep my eye on future dates. So
yeah, we'll do it again for sure. That's not the first in-person event that we'll do. But since you segued to that, you know, depending on when you're listening to this, we are having an in-person sort of behind the scenes tour of Sandia Green Clean. It's on March 14th and 15th. And you can hit us up at hello@profitcleaners.com to learn more about that. Or if you're already on the list, you would have already gotten an email. Yeah. But yeah. Thanks so much for being with us, Krista. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Krista.
Thank y'all. This is fun. And I'll be connecting with y'all later.
Yeah. We'll look forward to seeing you on the future Profit Cleaners coaching calls. You're always on those. And like I said, that people that take action get results. You're taking action, Krista. So keep showing up. And anyone else listening out there, Krista's a great example of this. Keep showing up, keep taking action. Action is what's going to change your business and your life. As much as we'd all like to attract success into our life through the law of attraction, you actually have to get up and do stuff and take action and make your dreams become a reality through actually doing it and not giving up. But yeah, thank you so much, Krista. I can't wait to hear more of your progress in the future and to just see what you do in 2024. I think this is the year you're shooting to hit 7 figures. So I want to hear that at the end of this year, that you're hitting 7 figures. And I can't wait to hear that story. So keep us updated on the journey.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Thanks, Krista.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. To get more info, including show notes, updates, trainings, and super cool free stuff, head over to profitcleaners.com. And remember, keep it clean.